2 years ago, I came to this place. Almost exactly 2 years to the day, I walked up and down in between this book stack or this stack of books or this corridor of books, and there's a history is written on top of it. They're all, what would you say, pre-read books, all secondhand books, and I've got politics, I've got Chicago, and I've got memoirs, and this is only one aisle, right? So, and I'm not going to go around name-dropping all of the bookstore, but you see, 2 years ago, I recorded, I think, several pieces of audio in this store. Just wandered in off the side of the street, and there was a dog. Yes, a wonderful white husky dog. That mightn't be technically the name, I don't know, but, and there was a man with reddish hair, I think, behind, and a beard, in the store. And I was with my guy, who 2 years later became my brother-in-law. In fact, on Sunday, Jeremy Edwards became my brother-in-law. And today is Monday. Or was the wedding on? The wedding was on Saturday. Yes, yes. So on Saturday he became my brother-in-law. But the point is that there are books all over the shop here. And a terrific collection of them. But what I wanted to share with you most of all on this audio is how wonderful it is in this age of the internet, where I certainly have flitted from one thing to another, and I go to one great place, and I don't go back, because there's so many other great places to go to. But on this occasion, I'm back where I was, back where, you know, a place that I fell in love with, and to come back is a deeply satisfying experience, because one, it reassures me that, you know, I didn't go to sleep and wake up lost. You know, I do, there is a, I'm still held by the same security that held me 2 years ago. So let me just sit down on the sofa here to say this. So you, of course, are falling over it to know what's the name of this place, how can you find it, how can you travel here from, you know, Bahrain, or how can you travel here from, you know, Scotland, or even from places like Oxford. You know, how can you get here from Blackwell's or Hodges Figgis in Dublin or wherever? No, but let me tell you that I'm in the neighborhood of Logan Square in Chicago. Now, Logan Square is a very short distance. We're on the north side, I think, and we're a very short distance from the dividing line in Chicago between north and south. These are things I learned. Anyway, on this street, off the main center of the square, Logan Square is an area and a kind of square, is this bookshop. And what is the name of the bookstore, please?
Uncharted Books.
It's called Uncharted Books. And in the background, that was the name of the proprietor. And let me ask the proprietor his name. He and I are old friends, but we don't know each other's name.
My name's Tanner McSwain.
And Tanner, 2 years ago,
yes, sir,
we recorded a piece of
it
audio.
It was wonderful. I had a great time.
And isn't it lovely? I'm just thinking how wonderful it is to discover that the world is not completely fallen apart in the last 2 years.
Not completely. There are pockets of hopefulness. There's a lot going on these days that makes it hard to be hopeful. But
No, we have a strong man coming over the horizon to put up walls against things that make us anxious.
Keep out
left-handed people, isn't it? He favors only having right-handed people allowed into the United States.
And the right power movement.
Yes, only right-handed people are allowed in, and there's going to be a wall to keep the others out. Yeah. So I think that's so. But in the time I've you're here.
I really hope sarcasm translates across accent barriers.
In one of the things we learn in Europe is that, and this is a terrible stereotype, Americans don't do humor when it comes to making certain kinds of political points. You're much better to remain concrete and say, I am not, by the way, in favor of anybody whose name starts with a T getting elected to be president of the United States.
That's fairly accurate. You know, that is interesting. I think you almost have to reassure people of that around here. Otherwise, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of otherwise seemingly reasonable people who don't quite pick up on...
And there's so much diversity
satire,
here. There's so much diversity here. So
wonderfully diverse.
To have satire coming to you from a different culture is quite hard to get anyway. There's no point in, you know. We are very monocultural in Ireland, for example. Nearly everybody looks like everybody. Everybody smells like everybody. You know, we all are like brothers and sisters, you know. Very little.
Sure.
Comparatively speaking, very little. Genetic mutations. Basically,
you'll
the
get
same
there.
Stock.
You'll get there.
Yeah. No, but it's true, you know. And I find politics and social commentary to be absolutely the field in which I want to use whatever ability to be humorous I do have. And then I keep getting caught out by the fact that the other person actually thinks. I had a funny one recently.
The problem, I think, is a lot of times, at least around here, if the person you're speaking to, let's say I was sarcastically praising Donald Trump, you run the risk, especially where I come from, which is the South, you run the risk of accidentally confirming, you run the risk of telling people that you're on their side when you're not, and confirming their pre-existing stereotypes by accident. So it's there's a saying at least in the South that don't talk about, it's not a very good saying, but don't talk about politics or religions with strangers. Those are the top two things you just don't talk about because there's so much
room
so much
for misunderstanding.
Room. Exactly.
I was doing a live stream, right? Mm-hmm. I know you're not into scoping, but I was live streaming
a
piece recently where, you know, I was talking and or showing and talking, mm-hmm. and then people were able to instant message in their comments. And somebody instant messages in, do you love black people? Right? So this appears in front of me.
That's
right?
On the nose, yeah.
So this is what it was like, my point of view. I went, right, now how shall I respond to this? And I thought, okay, this person sounds like they actually want me to say, of course I do. Right?
Sure.
For some reason I thought that, you know?
I can't imagine what their reasoning would be. But
they wanted me to say, I love all black people. So I said, I do not love black people. I certainly don't love any group of people as a whole. I don't love white people. I don't love black people. I don't love right-handed people. I don't love left-handed people. Right? And, but it was actually, that taught me that, I mean, one is I had no regret at having said, I do not love black people.
What was your response?
Although I got to be very careful here, because some person at the door comes in and hears me say that, and they get, you know, but no, the response was the response of other people.
Yes.
Because the person didn't say any more themselves. But the response of other people was, those that I remember were to be, you know, quite... amused and positively receptive of such a way of dealing with it. I mean, I was, but I realized that I had to make several.
That sounds like someone trying to set you up for failure. doesn't
and
it?
That's what I thought, you see, yes. And I thought, well, okay, I can play that. You know.
Sure.
And anyway, I thought it'll be good to say, you know, what I, to start off with a very provocative, probably I have a...
I've got to keep an eye on the front to make sure nobody's
look,
like waiting on me.
I just wanted to say hi to you again.
Oh, Paul, thank you.
And to say how just delightful it is. And in a few minutes, if
yes.
it's okay with you, I want to start the poetry reading.
That would be perfectly
there
fine.
There are
I
volumes
think,
and volumes of people
here. I was
about
to say, I think here. many great authors will be in attendance, and maybe not a lot of flesh and blood folks.
But
I would be
the great authors
that,
in
yes.
attendance. Yeah. So we'll
I
do a little, a recent poem
yeah,
I've written for,
that sounds
for the fun of it. Okay, you go back. And
okay, I'm going to work,
yeah,
and you
yeah,
tell
yeah,
me
yeah,
when
sir,
you'd like to read a poem.
I will.
Okay.
Brilliant, brilliant. So what a guy. What a guy. Isn't he super?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm just picking up now some books that I find lying around here on top of the counter, waiting to be put into shelves. Okay, A Vindication of the Rights of Woman. A Vindication of the Rights of Woman by Mary Wollstonecraft. Right. Wow, what a book. Then, a theological-political treatise and a political treatise by Benedicta Spinoza. God, I studied him in first year philosophy at university. Wow. Then I've got David Hume's Enquiries Concerning Human Understanding and Concerning the Principles of Morals. Third edition. Wow. Here. Then I've got Kant. Guidebook to Kant and the Critique of Pure Reason. This is phenomenal. I've got a book called Nietzsche by Martin Heidegger, Volume 1 and 2. God, I should read that. I never have. I have to hold my hands up and say, I certainly would never have remembered that Heidegger wrote a book on Nietzsche. I don't think I ever even knew. And then we got Plato's. Goodness me, a book by Plato. Scruton, A Modern History, A Short History of Modern Philosophy. Here's the one I've never heard of before. Beauty Restored by Mary Mothersill. The Idea of Nature. R.G. Collingwood. What a collection of books. Fantastic Metamorphosis. Other Worlds by Martina Warner. I know Martina Warner. Yeah, not well enough. Look, here we have Gilbert Ryle, The Concept of Mind. I mean, I cannot think of any bookshop that I've ever been in my life in which I can actually find such a collection of philosophy books, literally on top of each other. Iris Murdoch, Metaphysics and A Guide to Morals. Do you know, I've never read that. I have never read that. And I have never even opened it. I read plenty of Iris Murdoch, but not that one. Anyway, there we go. Wittgenstein Flies a Kite. I'm going to buy a book. This has just persuaded me that I'm going to buy a book. Wittgenstein came to Ireland, and he spent a winter in Ireland, and wrote a poem about it after reading a book about it. So this is Wittgenstein Flies a Kite, a story of models of wings and models of the world. Wittgenstein Flies a Kite. Here we go. The Metaphysics of Miniature Worlds. Wittgenstein's investigations into logic were bringing him around to a notion of mirroring and corresponding. In notes expressing his views as of April 1914, start of the First World War, he concludes, thus a language which can express everything mirrors certain properties of the world by these properties which it must have. And he struggles to accommodate his observation of the problematic fact that, quote, in the case of different propositions, the way in which they correspond to the facts to which they correspond is quite different. Okay, and then I skip a bit, and then it goes on, begins the next paragraph. These exploratory thoughts about the notion of correspondence were the beginning steps towards an answer to one of the puzzles raised much earlier by musical scores and the gramophone records that had been such a striking arrival on the scene the year Wittgenstein was born. I've got to buy this book. I've just got to buy this book. I'm not sure why. I mean, it's not that I'm against Nietzsche Oh, look at this. I've even got a book called St. Anselm, Basic Writings, translated by S.N. Dean, introduced by... Here, I give up. I give up. This is by, as I say, a million miles, the best little collection of philosophy I've ever found in a book store in my life. So this is the end of this particular bit of audio. Thank you ever so much for listening in. And the last book I'm going to name here is called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, combining three things: the case for Christianity, Christian behavior, and beyond personality. I mean, what a collection of books. Oh my God, Wittgenstein on the arbitrariness of grammar by a guy called Foster. I just can't get over this. Okay, I've got to stop. There's just too much philosophy in the world. That's what I think. Just too much philosophy. Just like there's some people have too much philosophy and some people have too much food. Bye for now.